Hello, I'm Juliana Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. This is Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. This is one of a series of special episodes called M&A Tales, where you'll hear about the human side of M&A. In this episode, we're exploring the risks and the opportunities of AI in deal making. Now, AI and its role in M&A is something we've covered previously in this podcast, but with the huge proliferation of AI in the past year or 18 months and the cybercrime that goes with it, how is that impacting how deal makers are now doing deals? We're joined by Peter A. Emmy, who's a partner at law firm Reed Smith, and he's based in New York. Peter is the leader of the firm's technology transactions practice in the US, and also by Aurelia Seidelhofer, who's a senior correspondent for the DACH region at Merger Market, and she's based in Munich. Hi, Aurelia. Hi, Peter. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thank you.
Hello.
So, starting with you, Aurelia, as a journalist who's researched this topic, could you outline what the landscape looks like when it comes to AI deal making and the associated cybersecurity threat?
Yes, I first got interested in artificial intelligence and the impact on the M&A community when I attended the PEMACOM conference here in Munich, which was organized by Reed Smith. And there was a panel about artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. And I was just astonished how many service providers there are and became curious about how that's changing how we work every day. So one thing that I noticed a lot was that it's not really a game changer yet. It's more seen as incremental changes that make the race. One person I spoke to said you can compare it to Formula One, which I thought was actually quite a good comparison. And there's a huge landscape of AI-based tools sprouting everywhere. People say that it doesn't really replace people, which I thought was also interesting, and it seems to have a big effect on junior staff especially, because a lot of the more boring and basic tasks can be done by machines now. And this frees up time for strategic decision making. But obviously, there's also downsides to artificial intelligence in terms of cybersecurity, because it doesn't just make us smarter or our workflows better. It also helps to improve the workflows of hackers. And obviously, these sophisticated systems are just more vulnerable, I would say.
Thank you. And we're going to come on to the cybersecurity threat in a bit more detail in a moment. But Peter, you're an M&A lawyer who works on tech deals for a big international law firm. Could you briefly explain your role at Reed Smith and then explain what you're seeing with your firm's clients, with the deals you're working on, how AI is changing that workflow, and maybe pick up on a couple of the points that Aurelia raised there, particularly the kind of tasks that are being moved away from junior staff and whether that's having any impact on recruitment?
Oh, sure. Yeah, thank you. And so I work on all the M&A deals in the US and about maybe half the M&A deals that are sourced out of our UK office. And it involves all types of processes throughout the entire M&A deal cycle, from the initial advice regarding sourcing and valuation input that a client had either gotten on their own or had vendors provide to them, through the initial diligence process, negotiating the purchase agreements or merger agreements, all the way through post-closing activities. I see that M&A is having an increasing role in the processes that I just mentioned along the M&A deal cycle. There are many many AI applications that apply to deal sourcing, for instance. We had panel members that were CEOs of companies that provided those services. In addition, there were valuation AI tools from folks on the panel. There were diligence-related tools that are from companies on the panel. And then post-merger integration or post-deal integration or assumption of the of the businesses that were purchased on those deals. So we see AI throughout the M&A deal cycle. On the legal side, there are tools also to assist lawyers in performing the work that needs to be done. For instance, there are tools that assist with diligence on the transaction side, and there are tools that also assist with document review on the litigation side. There are other tools that also assist with comparing different versions or markups of agreement documents, so it's easier to spot changes and help. They help to identify various important provisions or points that occur along those markups. And then on the post merger or post deal closing side, there are AI tools that assist with the integration and the advice that is needed to integrate and protect the data and the processes after closing.
Thank you. And could we look at some of the risks associated with using AI in deal making? The head of the National Cybersecurity Centre here in the UK recently spoke about the rapid expansion of cyber capabilities. Previously, it was the domain of nation states or other really well-resourced groups. But that threat has significantly broadened with a threefold increase in severe incidents in 2024 so far compared to last year. And that's kind of widely reflective of the proliferation of AI across the board. How does all that filter down to deals and deal making? What are the risks for deal makers? Aurelia, could we come to you first on that, please, and then get your thoughts, Peter?
Yeah, so I think the general feedback that we're having is that when the company goes through an M&A process, there's just a heightened risk of cybersecurity because hackers are made aware of something happening, and especially because we've seen a lot of deals in tech and software, and these are hot sectors right now for deal makers. So, but obviously these firms are just by nature a bit more vulnerable to cybersecurity risks, right? So I think it's that and the combination with just hackers using the technology as well in terms of cybersecurity. So from what I've heard, it's just a big conversation topic, and it expands as a factor in the due diligence process and in deal making.
Peter, coming to you, it must mean that certain parts of the process and the work carried out by firms like yours is speeded up. But what are the cybersecurity risks, and what concerns are your clients raising, or what are you flagging to your clients?
Yeah, we're trying to counsel clients to be more careful in the teams, in the data flow, and the information flow that is happening during the deal. To ensure the data rooms are secure and pristine, and to ensure that people aren't going outside the system. Also, we advise them to use only AI tools that are in either private networks or for which they know that the information they're putting into them is not being used. By a broader scope of the population, which could potentially, have outputs that include such information. The other thing we're very focused on and concerned about is the post-closing, either integration or merging or transferring of large amounts of data and information about the business that was purchased or merged, because at that point, the world already knows that the deal was happening back at the signing stage, and they've had time to sort of poke around and try to find information and systems that are pertinent to that deal. And at that point, post closing, most of the information is either being transferred or people are accessing it to try to come up to speed regarding the information in the new business. And so there's a large amount of data transfer and access. And at that stage, it's most vulnerable.
And do you, either of you, have any examples where there has been a cybersecurity or attempted hack with a deal particular at that point that you mentioned, Peter?
Well, we've gotten information. I can't talk about on the most recent one that we had just heard about, but there was a deal that closed recently, and the client came back and said, you know, we have a breach shortly thereafter of the sector of the storage that they were transferring data into, and so we had put a full team on that to try to minimize you know, the risk and to advise them on next steps.
And staying with you, Peter, could you just talk about what companies and deal makers can do to protect themselves? Because on one hand, you've got these amazing AI tools which make loads of processes much quicker, much simpler. On the other hand, you've got to protect the companies that you're working with and all of their information. So what do you advise them to do, or what can they do to protect themselves but still allowing them to use those AI tools?
Yeah, I mean, basically it's, you know, do your homework and prepare well, right? And because a lot of times companies are in deal-making processes, they have a clean team, a smaller team, and not the entire group of people that are working in certain business lines, for instance, if they're selling a business line. And so they have a very small team, resources are limited, they're stretched thin. And sometimes, you know, the proper evaluation of AI tools that are used, or the tools that are used to, you know, that are set up to be used toward the end of the deal, before closing and post closing, are not, you know, they're not really well thought out. There's not you know, the planning is not is good as it should be. So we strongly advise our clients to do that planning. We try to start that process early. We try to engage them to sort of kickstart some of those you know, work processes that need to be put in place before anything bad could happen.
And how much of an issue is standardization of the programs being used, the software being used, and the law firms, banks, and other parties involved in the deal making process?
So on the customer or client side, you know, the problem is, everybody's talked about ChatGPT and some of the other bigger programs that are being used. And so, you know, you'll have some of the clients, you know, they don't have the time, they're stretched thin, they want to take some shortcuts. So they go and use that. And that's, you know, basically that becomes part of the corpus of information. Anything they put in there becomes the corpus of information that's used in the AI going forward for anyone, you know, who puts in similar queries and so on and so forth. So on that side, it's, you know, they have to be very careful in not doing that. You know, they have to be educated and understand the implications of doing things like that. On the law firm side, we have dedicated tools like Harvey, and there's a couple others that really set up memory partitions, and you can set the parameters such that no information is shared that you put into the system. You know, it'll just use all the information from, you know, that particular client or a similar set of clients, depending on the consents you get from the clients to use it and how to use it and who to share it with. So it's a much more locked down environment than what is typically, you know, used by everyone in the public domain.
And Aurelia, coming back to you, could you talk about some of the other risks associated with the use of AI in M&A away from the cybersecurity risks?
Yeah, so I mean, just broadly speaking, obviously there's a risk that AI makes mistakes, so humans still need to check it. Could also be that as it becomes more sophisticated, might be harder to spot these mistakes. Then people also say that there's some concerns about copyright risk, because obviously you need to feed the AI data so it can create. And there's a question mark, you know, where does this data come from? Who owns the rights to that? And there's also, this is not really a risk, but it's just an interesting factor that some people talk about changing business models. So for example, law firms use a billable hours model normally. And if AI takes over some of these tasks, then there's a question, you know, are you going to pay the AI per hour as you would, you know, a lawyer? So I think that's quite interesting as well.
Yeah, and perhaps one you can comment on, Peter.
Yeah, so interestingly, you know, I've heard a lot of discussion and talk and you know, chatter on the internet and in blogs and so on of people saying, well, you know, will AI eliminate the more junior roles in the legal world, in the legal service environment? And I think what's going to happen is it's not going to eliminate wholesale, you know, the associate structure, for instance, or other advisors or experts that we need to do our job. It's just going to require some increased specialization. So there'll be a more emphasis on having more associates and junior people and consultants and even partners with specialized knowledge and at least with the basic understanding of what AI does, what the limitations are, what the risks are, and so on. So there'll have to be increased training within the law firms. There's going to have to be an increased number of people with some specialization to accommodate, you know, these types of things. But the bottom line is there's always going to be a need for human interaction. The AIs cannot run independently, you know, on their own. There has to be some judgment that is made. There has to be some, you know, channeling of the direction of the outputs. So there's got to be marshaling of some of the information to determine, you know, best courses of action for the client given the situation and so on. So that's important.
So it doesn't sound like you'll be out of a job just yet. And Peter, what changes do there need to be at law firms, but also on the client side when it comes to training, staff, education?
Sure. Yeah. So it's just, you know, both on the legal side and on the client side, you know, the teams will have to be cognizant that training will have to occur about AI, about the cybersecurity risks involved with using it, you know, a little bit about the technology so that there's a clear understanding of, you know, what ways it can be used and helpful, what things should be avoided, and what processes and procedures should be followed to ensure data protection.
Because it feels like there is so much to get your head around at the moment.
That's right. That's right. You know, the technology is increasing very, very rapidly. You know, there's a paradigm shift in how it's affecting business processes and the industry at large. So this is a hot topic, and for good reason, because it got clear impact, clear benefits. But of course, you know, people have to understand it in a little bit more depth so that they can understand the risks as well.
Oh, and would you say it's been the biggest change in the way you work that you've seen within your career?
Quite honestly, you know, on the business development side, and with regard to helping training and mentoring, it's been a tremendous help because I can marshal large amounts of information in an easily understandable format to provide to, you know, the others as far as mentoring, training, et cetera. And even to mentor and train and assist the clients in understanding certain facets of deals, especially in the technology arena, because I can get that information in a usable format very quickly and efficiently. Whereas before, it used to take me several hours to put together some of these materials. I can now put together the same materials in 30 minutes.
I would like to finish off by looking ahead. It's a really, really exciting time with AI and all the things it's allowing us to do. We are potentially on the cusp of a huge productivity leap, but there are obviously the risks that we've been discussing. Could you both give me your thoughts? We've covered a little bit of it already, but could you both give me your thoughts on how you see this evolving in the coming years?
I think it's going to be great because I think, especially in deal sourcing, we can already see that the quality of the process is just so much better, right? So with the help of AI, junior analysts can review thousands of potential targets, right? This was just not possible before. So I think it's just a big advantage for investors overall. Of course, there are risks and challenges, but I'm confident that this is a smart industry and we can overcome them.
Yeah, I agree. That's right. You know, their deal sourcing is greatly improved. funding and sourcing of funders and entities which need funding is greatly improved. The process is much quicker. The larger amounts of information can be assimilated much more quickly and accurately, and connect up the different entities on each side. The diligence is a much more analytical process, which becomes faster, which gets you to the right information that is needed and which can be acted upon, so that the teams of attorneys and the clients and customers can get that information on a quick basis, very very expedient basis, and act upon it. And it also helps, as I mentioned, in post merger integration to identify efficiencies more quickly, and to advise on not only on the business side, but as we've been talking about, the cybersecurity aspects and maintaining the best amount of and the best course of actions for data protection.
Wonderful, Aurelia and Peter, thanks very much. That was Peter A. Emmy, who's a partner at law firm Reed Smith based in New York, and Aurelia Seidelhofer, who's a senior correspondent for the DACH region for Merger Market based in Munich. Thanks for listening to this episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it and please rate and review the show. To find out more about what we've been talking about in this episode, please have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.